Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Typically we do, but today we got something a little special planned for you. We're actually interviewing Louis Santer, who is playing Tigger in Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2, which Corey and I are super pumped about. We actually already have our tickets. It's going to be a wide release in a bunch of theaters, so we're very excited for that. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror, and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I got to do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. With that said, 30 Screams or Less starts now. Louis, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. I know you're a 5-hour difference ahead of us, and it's pretty late on your end.
Yeah, pretty. No, thank you for having me. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So we got some questions for you. Mm-hmm. So I would like to have Corey start off with it, though, because we always go, like, I do my whole little spiel, and I'm like, Corey, tell me how this movie is. But instead, Corey, why don't you ask the first question?
Sure. Louis, can you tell us about yourself, like how you got started acting and growing up and such?
Yeah, about myself. So I've always sort of wanted to be an actor, and I sort of decided that this is like a career I want to pursue at like 11 years old. And I just sort of did acting, like little acting classes since then, and did it at school and at college and stuff. And then got into drama school when I was 19 years old, and I was at drama school for 4 years. And then I actually studied acting and stage combat. So I sort of did acting, but also looked into like the stunty style, like side of things, and like combat for films and stage and stuff like that. And then literally graduated from drama school last July. And then out of the gate, I got a job at Shakespeare's Globe. I don't know if you've heard of it. Like I was doing Romeo and Juliet there, doing a little Shakespeare play. And then from that point on, I think about a month after I graduated from drama school, I then got offered the role of Tigger in this film. So it's been a bit of a wild journey, sort of just going from one thing to the other straight away.
Yeah, oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a huge role to get right off
yeah,
the bat.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Anyone I tell, they're like, that's crazy. Honestly, it just kind of, I was at the Globe, and for a Shakespeare actor, I've done a lot of Shakespeare. That was a big deal for me being at the Globe. And then whilst I was there, I was texting the director of this film, and I was like, this is going perfectly so far. You know, I'm just out of the gate, and literally my dream role's just been offered to me. So yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, that's amazing. Just right off the bat, you're like, you know what? Go big or go home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just went in the deep end, and it worked.
It's kind of cool too that your first role ended up being for a film that's getting a wide release.
Oh God, yeah, I know. It's crazy. Obviously, I'm not used to it at all. So obviously, like, I mean, even now, some images got released today. Like a new one of Tigger got released. I don't know if you've seen it. Now my phone's blowing up right now just from like people saying, oh, it looks badass. Like there's a new pit. I think there's a new one of Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and Christopher Robin. So it's just stuff like that. It's just crazy. I'm still getting used to it. It's still very surreal to me, this sort of side of the industry.
Yeah, I watched the trailer again today and I'm like, oh, this is going to be really badass looking.
Yeah, it's such a good trailer. I love the trailer.
Yeah, so I was kind of doing a little bit of a deep dive on you. And yeah, this is basically your first movie role, right?
Yeah.
So you primarily started your career like doing Shakespeare, things like that.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Midsummer's Night's Dream.
Yeah, that's the one I did. They're the two I've done. Funny enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
obviously, stark differences from Tigger in Winnie the Pooh and Blood and Honey. Mm-hmm. Did you primarily want to do theater and then transition to film? Or did you feel this is an opportunity to essentially stretch your acting chops and just try film?
Yeah, no, it's funny actually, because Shakespeare's something I love, and I've done a lot of it at drama school, but it's so weird because if you ask anyone that I've been friends with since like 2017, I've always said since the It version of the 2017 version of It came out, I literally remember watching at the Bill Skarsgård one, and I remember saying like I would love, like it would be a dream of mine to play like an iconic sort of horror character, like a killer. Mm-hmm. I've always said that since like that film came out, because I remember like just seeing the prosthetics and just what he did with the character and the effect he had on me when I was watching it in cinemas, and I was like, I'd love to do that. So ever since then, I've been quite obsessed actually with horror films and like the use of prosthetics and stuff like that. So it really, and I've always, if you ask anyone, I love horror films, and I love watch God knows how many horror films, and it's always something I want to get interested in. So when I got offered this role, when I first got it sent to me by my agent and I just read the character breakdown before the audition, I was like, oh my God, this is my dream role. Because like Pennywise was inspiration, and Freddy Krueger and Art the Clown and all these amazing characters that I look up to. And then it's Tigger as well, which is like my favorite childhood character. So I was like, this is like manifested into like my dream role. And I honestly felt like that. So yeah.
That's amazing, Lewis. You know, just when you manifest things, it oftentimes they just come true because you believe in it so much. I'm a firm believer, you get what you put out there. So if you're putting like a good vibe out there, like I want this type of role, you're going to get it. It's going to come to you at some point. It's just, you have to believe. I'm not trying to be like one of those, you know, motivational speakers or anything, but I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I think if you speak someone out like enough, and like all my friends at drama school, I'd always say to them, like, we'd watch like horror movies together in the cinemas. Like we recently watched like Scream 6 in cinemas and Evil Dead Rise. And this is before I knew about this role. And I was like, oh my God, that would be a dream of mine. I always say to everyone, like, and I would like do the lines of Pennywise in front of people as a joke and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden you get this sent out of the blue by your agent. And you're like, if someone could make a dream role and send it to me, this is it. And I had this feeling like, oh my God, I feel like that's going to be my role. And then I auditioned for it. And then obviously about a couple weeks after that, I got the role. It's crazy.
That's amazing. Actually, that was going to be kind of my next follow-up question based on that, was like, what was the, you know, the process like for auditioning? So I didn't know if maybe they had you in mind, or if there was like kind of just this, just a ton of people wanting to audition for Tigger. But regardless, very impressive that you got this role.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, no, it was actually quite an interesting process, because I was literally at the Globe at the time, and I got, my agent sent me this role and said, I might, you know, send you forward for this, and like, if you're interested. And I was like, obviously I read it and I was like, oh my God, like it said heavy prosthetics and inspirations Freddy Krueger and Pennywise. So I was like, oh my God, yeah, send me forward. And then literally that night, I remember, I think I was at the pub or something like that, and I was obsessed. Like I wasn't talking to anyone, and I was following every single person involved in the first film. So I followed the director, the producer, all of the cast, everyone involved in the first film, just to get on their radar. And then I remember this, I don't know if Reese remembers, but that night Reese followed me back, and I was like, okay, that's a good sign, the director's just following me back in the same night anyway. And I didn't think too much into it, and then I was at the Globe, I think it was the day before our last show, and I got a text from Reese on Instagram randomly going, hi Lewis, like we're getting tapes in, like self-tapes for Tigger, saw you got put forward by your agent and we're interested in seeing you do one. And I was like, oh my God. And then he literally was texting me like inspirations and what to do in the self-tape that night. So he kind of reached out to me after being sent forward by my agent, but like personally on Instagram. So already that meant a lot to me. And then, yeah. And then he said, can I get a self-tape in over the weekend? So I did the most crazy audition ever. I had to like go into this room and kill someone and do all sorts of things to him, like eat him or whatever it was. And then he went, great. And then he went, oh, I saw you do combat. Can we see some combat clips? So I was like, okay. So I sent in some fighting clips that I've done just to see how my body moves. And then that was it for about 2 or 3 weeks. And in that 2 or 3 weeks, I was just refreshing my emails and my messages all the time. And then eventually he got in touch on, I think he texted me and said, yeah, we want to offer you the role.
Yeah, see, I would say if the director is reaching out to you directly on social media, usually pretty good sign, unless you like completely blow it, which I mean, I didn't think you would by any means.
Yeah.
But if you go in and they already have this expectation, like, oh, we've seen what you've done, we like it, we just want to see like it in person. Mm-hmm. So I think the director probably had this like idea, like, you know, we want this kid, but we just need to make sure.
Yeah.
Like you have to go through the formalities.
Yeah, you got to go through the whole process. Like you said, just in case you don't blow it, in case you do a self-tape and you're like, oh my God, we were so wrong. Like this is not the guy.
But right.
I think it's just like making sure that this is the person for Tigger.
Right. Like if you walk in there and you go, listen, I don't audition, you're supposed to just hire me on the spot. Like that won't work.
No, I don't think anyone would appreciate that. No. No, I was literally the opposite. I remember when he was texting me, I was so excited. I remember I was like in London at the time, and I was just like replying so quick and be like, yep, I can do that. I was honestly the opposite.
That's very cool. Corey, why don't you ask a question? You got another one, don't you?
Yeah, so actually, we are both huge Winnie the Pooh fans, like going back to, you know, the cartoons and even the book. And, you know, it's common knowledge that Disney has owned these characters since the beginning of time. You know, and then all these characters except Tigger became public domain last year, and that's why we got Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 1. How does it feel to be the first person to play Tigger since that character became public domain earlier this year?
Yeah, oh, it's a dream. It's an absolute dream. I was chatting to someone on the crew at one point, and you don't really think about it too much. I was sort of there, and he went, "You are the first like live action Tigger like ever." I was like, "Oh my god, I am!" Like, I know there's cartoon and there's an animation sort of version, but he was like, "You're the first like live action person to play Tigger," and I was like, "Okay, actually, if you look at it, I know it's a sadistic version, but if you look at it that way, it's actually a really cool thing." And obviously, he was sort of, I remember when the first one came out, and obviously when I got cast in this movie, I was watching a lot of the interviews involved in the for the first one, and people were asking where's Tigger and stuff like that. So people were obviously interested in seeing this character in a horror. In a horror version of him. So it feels cool to be that person to finally give that to the audience.
Yeah, we wanted to see Eeyore too, but he got eaten in the first one.
Yeah, he's been eaten. Yeah.
So it's funny you say that. A lot of people were clamoring for Tigger in the first movie. Mm. And I think Tigger is probably a fan favorite over Winnie the Pooh. So actually, that kind of goes into my next question. But I wanted to kind of circle back here because you mentioned prosthetics, right?
Yes.
So the first film essentially had a shoestring budget from what we were told and primarily used masks for the characters. Mm-hmm. However, this one looks like it's more makeup based, or perhaps masks have made a ginormous leap since the initial film.
Yeah.
If this is mostly makeup, what is the process like with getting that stuff on? I hear it takes hours.
Do you know what? A few people have asked me, like, I don't think it's too bad, you know? Like, I actually quite enjoyed it because it's all prosthetic. So it's sort of... So as soon as I got the role, I had to go up to the north of England and get my like prosthetics fitted. And it was sort of the same people that did like Voldemort and like Mad-Eye Moody from Harry Potter. So I was just completely geeking out in there. And they basically put this mold over my face. And it's like a paper mache sort of thing. But obviously, it's like silicone. And then they rip it off. And you can see this perfect mold of your face, like every little feature of your skin and your cheekbones and head, everything. And then they sort of build this tiger sort of mask over it. And then when I got there and set on the first day, they had it in four parts. So they had like a hood to go on first. And that goes over your whole head and your shoulders and halfway down your chest. And they sort of put on like a load of baby powder on first and a hairnet and then slide that on. And then you're sort of left with just your face, your bare face. And then they put on like a forehead piece and then a chin piece. And then finally you get this like half face sort of piece. It goes over the eyes and the nose and at the top of the mouth. And it honestly, I keep telling people this, but it felt like, do you know the end of Revenge of the Sith? When Darth Vader's when he's getting his mask on, it felt like that. Like I saw this, like these two eye holes coming towards me, and it kind of finally sticks on, and you're like, oh my god, like it's time, like I'm ready. But it took about 2 hours to get on, and it went down to about an hour and a half by the last day on set. So it wasn't too long. And plus, I feel like as an actor, I really appreciated that time because you sort of get on set, you're sort of talking to everyone, having a bit of a laugh, and then it's like, right, now it's time to, you know, get to work. So whilst you're getting those prosthetics on, you're sort of, I'm going over stuff in my head, I'm sort of trying to get into that dark sort of mental state, if that makes sense. Sort of playing like heavy metal music in my head sort of thing. And then by the time, because they're not really talking, they're sort of focusing on what they're doing. And it's wonderful work. It's a couple that do it and they're just geniuses. But they're doing their thing and I'm sort of there just prepping, like sipping Monster Energy and just getting into Tigger mode.
Just getting amped up.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's actually pretty convenient because typically, from what I hear, you know, a lot of these, let's say bigger budget movies, they'll be doing the makeup, stuff like that. For instance, like Jim Carrey's The Grinch, right? He was in the chair for like, I don't know, 12 hours, something crazy. And then you get to film. So it seems like they really streamlined that whole process so that way they can maximize being able to film faster.
Yeah, it did, to be fair. Yeah, I think Jim Carrey's was just all... I think he had, like, CIA training, didn't he? Like, to sort of calm his mind down. And I feel like that's just extreme. That's so extreme. Like, with 2 hours, I feel like, as much as it was not that long, I think after 2 hours, I was done and I was ready to start filming now. So I'm quite lucky, actually. It only took about 90 minutes to 120 minutes, really. Maybe if it did take a few hours longer, then I would start getting quite irritated and sort of want to get going. So obviously I can't really compare it to Jim Carrey's experience. But for me, I really appreciate those 2 hours. I know it sounds really like strange, but I did.
Well, it must be cool to see like that transition.
Yeah, it is, because you sort of get there and you're sort of not in that mental state yet. And you have time to just like you said, get amped up. And that's exactly what I did with those 2 hours.
And actually, one more thing. What were you listening to for heavy metal? Because Corey and I love heavy metal.
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll get my playlist up right now. I've got a Tigger playlist I made on Spotify.
Actually called the Tigger playlist.
I actually did. I made, like, for example, Tiptoe Through the Tulips with Me, that really creepy song from Insidious.
Tiny Tim.
Yeah, Tiny Tim. Boogie Woogie Woo from Insane Clown Posse. Bodies by Drowning Pool. The Wonderful Thing About Tiggers. I've got all these. There's this one band, and their title of the band is like 50 different letters, and it actually stands for something, but they make stuff like Surf's Up Goths. I don't know if you've heard it.
I feel like I know this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like a crazy long band name.
It is, yeah, yeah. If you type up Surf's Up Goths, and they do other stuff as well, that I'm not even going to say some of these titles because they're so horrible, but it's some awful, awful titles, and that is just complete screamo, complete screaming in your ear. But it does something to you, man. Like, I was in the gym for like a month before training for this and sort of listening to that kind of music. And I was listening to like a lot of Slipknot as well, a lot of Slipknot and stuff like that. What else have I got here? Also like the Saw theme tune, American Horror Story theme tune, stuff like different theme tunes, just to sort of get into that like horror sort of state. And it does help. And I don't like, it's funny because the guy who played Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund, said it. He said there's a real clear correlation between horror movies and heavy metal music. They're like cousins, he said. And it is true, like heavy metal music and horror films are very similar in terms of the theme and like how they make you feel and stuff like that. So I think it's very important if you are preparing for a horror character to sort of listen to this type of music.
Yeah, that's a very good point. They do really have this close relationship, don't they? I mean, a lot of horror movies we see, like primarily heavy metal soundtracks or just amazing sound scores. Mm. So we know that our guy, Andrew Scott Bell, is going to be doing the sound score for this movie.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Did you get to meet him?
No, I haven't met him. No, I think I've messaged him on Instagram and that's it. I'd love to meet him because it's crazy. He's got like bear skulls and stuff like that, making like instruments out of bear skulls. It's just, he's a genius. Yeah, it's crazy.
He did an episode with us before. We got to interview him about the score from the first film.
Oh, wow. Oh, really? I didn't know that. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, like you said, he is a genius. At the time, he wasn't able to tell us if he was doing a score for the second film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's very secretive.
But we knew. We just knew.
You knew. You can tell by like the tone of their voice, can't you?
Yeah, and exactly. And he was also talking about, oh, we got this like bear skull thing and I'm going to do stuff with that. I'm like, come on, man. You're going to be doing Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey too. Mm. Who are you fooling?
Yeah, we know. Yeah. It's one of those things that I think when I first saw like the Spotify playlist for the first film, I actually got so excited about having just one for this film and having like something titled Tiggers something, I don't know, Tiggers Fun or whatever, and having like I just can't wait to hear that. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I know, I can't wait to hear what he did with that bear skull. I've seen what he posted on Instagram of him playing it for like 10 seconds, but that's all we've heard.
Yeah. It's just it's great because it's like, it's not just a sound. You can also record yourself doing it like on video and like people still want to be interested in that because he's making these insane instruments and you sort of draw it in audience that way as well.
Oh, absolutely. It was someone he was working with who did all those weird kind of ideas with instruments. He told us that the person that he was working with, they took a violin and they put it in a beehive and got the whole honeycomb around it, stuff like that. He actually forgot about it for like months. And then when Andrew asked him, he's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And so it was like covered in honeycomb.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. I think I've seen that actually. I think it's on his Instagram, isn't it?
The guy he works with is, his name's Violin Torture.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and he makes all of his instruments.
Oh, really? Oh, wow, I didn't know that. It's crazy, yeah, though. The sound of him is crazy because obviously it's such an important thing in horror films. Like they say low frequency songs actually make like are so anxiety inducing in people and it causes more anxiety when you're watching horror films. So like the stuff he's creating, even from watching the video, I'm like, oh my God, that's going to be crazy in a horror film.
Yeah, it did a lot for the first film for sure. That that beehive thing, he played it for us on the podcast and it actually sounds like a bee swarm.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you guys to film the sequel?
So I wasn't on set actually for that long. So Tigger was only on set for a few days because, and I was actually the first monster on set because obviously I don't want to give too much away, but I'm like, I've got to be careful what I say, but it's,
sure.
I was only on set for a little while actually. I feel like I know Pooh was on set. I did loads of days, obviously on set. I think Owl had a few more, Piglet had a few, but yeah, Tigger's not. So actually for me, it felt quite quick. my time on set. And I was the first monster as well. So people, like, their reactions were great when I was first in prosthetics, because obviously they haven't seen a monster yet. But it kind of just went by so quick, even though the nights are very long, they're very long night shoots. But you miss it. I took some of it in, but a lot of it feel like you took for granted. And you're like, oh, I'm done now. Like, I want to go back and do it all again. So yeah, it just kind of went by so quick. So to me, it didn't feel like long at all.
Yeah. And you know what I did notice too? Like, you mentioned a lot of night stuff, and it makes sense because a lot of horror movie stuff is done at night or in the dark, things like that. When we saw the first Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, there was primarily two locations, right? There was the woods, and then you had the area like of the house and the part where there's all those trailers, right? Mm-hmm. But from what we're seeing, it looks like this is a much bigger budget than the initial one. And there's tons of different locations. That's what it at least looks like for me. Like, there's a hospital, and we've seen, you know, the woods, obviously, things like that. It seems like this is a much bigger effort than the first one.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, definitely. There's loads of locations. There's stuff I don't even know about. There's stuff I'm even learning about. Because obviously on set, you sort of read the script. So you know the sort of scenes. But you don't know the locations, because obviously I'm not getting sent in the call sheets. I just get sent what I'm doing. So I sort of did all my stuff. And then you'd see, like, stuff on social media or stuff that, like, the producer sent me or whatever. And you're like, oh, wow, that looks amazing. So even to this day, I'm still seeing stuff and thinking, oh, that's like a really cool scene. That's a really cool location. So even I don't know. But it's, yeah, I mean, like, even for Pooh's den, there's like a sort of den that they've literally built. They had these guys build this massive sort of underground bunker where Pooh and Owl and Piglet all live. There's actually a picture, the picture that came out of Owl and Piglet. Do you know, they're in this like dark tunnel sort of place.
Yeah.
Have you seen that picture? Yeah, that's a bunker that they actually created. So they made that all. And it was amazing, that bunker. It was so cool. So like, even just stuff like that, like, not even just, obviously a lot of people just sort of find locations and film there, but they actually created their own location, which I think is just like another step up.
That is another step up. A lot of bigger movies tend to have those kind of budgets where they'll just make whole setups, like whole like locations, things like that. Mm. So it's wild to hear that they actually took that approach for this movie as well.
Yeah. It's just crazy. I think it's obviously a massive step up when you literally, if you can't find it, let's just build it. That was sort of the mentality for this sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Looks like Corey and I had a few more questions. Corey, you want to take the next question?
We saw the first film, of course, and now the second film. Looking at IMDb, it looks like they may have recast the person who played Christopher Robin and the person who played Pooh. Do you have any insight as to why they may have done that, not just stuck with the original cast?
There is a big reason why they've done that, but I don't think I can say that. It's all very much explained in the film. It's a very, like, clear reason once you see the film. But there isn't, they ever just sort of done it and sort of glossed over it and sort of, do you know what I mean, hope people don't notice. I think they've done it intentionally, and there is a big reason in the film. Yeah,
so it's basically like story related.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
Okay, I just looked up those pictures you were talking about earlier, the new photos. That looks insane. It's like a bloody jumpsuit.
Yeah. Oh my God, I was covered in blood. Literally, when I first got the costume, he had a little bit of blood on his chest. And then literally by the end of the production for my character anyway, it was, I was absolutely like, I mean, covered in blood. So there's one death in particular, and I won't say what I do to him, but I do something horrid to someone, and Tigger's in a literal shower of blood. And it's probably my favorite kill. Maybe it's definitely up there. And I'm literally in a shower, and I came away from that kill, and the crew were looking at me like, oh, okay. Like, obviously all the other kills are cool, but it was sort of almost like, right, we've done that one, now let's move on to the next one. Do you know what I mean? It's a process, we've got stuff to do. But that one, I sort of walked away, and everyone sort of stopped and was looking at me like, okay, that was disturbing. Like, that kill was mental. And I was literally, like, every inch of me was covered in blood. Like, I was completely red. So that jumpsuit was just, it was soaking by the end of the shoot.
Oh man, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes me think, regarding the blood in this film, I've seen behind the scenes when it comes to Ash versus the Evil Dead, and they tend to use things like a blood cannon. Mm-hmm. Did they do anything like that, or were they just like splashing you with blood? What was that process?
They had like a little pump sort of thing for like stuff like throat slits and stuff like that, or like a little slice. They had like little pumps they would sort of squirt on me or onto the victim. But for that, literally, I think it was actually a bucket. I'm trying to remember, because obviously I was sort of in character doing my thing. I'm pretty sure they had one of the crew members, might have been one of the makeup team, literally throwing like a bucket, and I mean like a bucket of blood over me. I think it was. Memory, yeah. And because I think they were literally like, yeah, this one, you're getting completely covered. I remember it was, I'm looking up as well. So I'm doing something above me. So I'm looking up at the blood and up at the victim. So I remember my eyes and my mouth was just, it was just all like covered in blood. And it was just like, I was just drinking it whilst doing this kill. And it was, I couldn't see anything because obviously there was this fake blood in my eyes. So yeah, it was crazy.
What's the fake blood made out of?
I don't know what it's made about. That's a good question. I think it's sort of, it's, there's two different types. I think there's one that's edible and one that's not edible. And I've worked it before at drama school because obviously we did like stage combat, so there's a lot of like blood involved there. And you do get this, it's just very sweet. The stuff that is edible, it just tastes sort of like caramel, like really, really sweet caramel. It's not very nice, to be fair. And it's just incredibly sticky. And it's safe for your eyes. So like, I was like panicking and they were like, no, it's fine. It can go in your eyes. And I had stuff called eye blood that before like most shots, if there was like a shot of my eyes, you could clearly see them. The makeup team would squirt this little eye blood in your eyes and it just gives you this red eye effect. And it kind of sucked. But but now looking at it, it's really cool. It was definitely worth it because it just makes you look like an absolute demon.
Lewis, you kind of just blew my mind there. Corey, he may have answered our question about what they did for eye stuff in Mara.
What's that?
Have you seen the film Mara?
Mara? No, I've not seen. How do you spell that? Mara?
M-A-R-A.
Oh,
it's
right.
A film. It was our episode this week, but we had a question about the film because the characters' eyes, they would get sort of possessed and they would have, their whole eyes would turn red.
Yeah.
And we were just curious how they did it.
It might be that. It might be that because there's a few pictures that I've seen already and you can see the eye blood. Even in that picture that you've just seen there, you can, if you look at my eye, it's dripping. So it started to come out. I think I had so much in my eye, it started coming out. But there's a few like shots we got where it just really stays in my eye and sits at the bottom of my eye and looks really nice. But honestly, I've just looked at Mara here. I've just looked at the film. It could be that, to be fair. Obviously, I don't want to say that just in case it's not, but it would make sense it being that.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
As long as there's some sort of like way to shoot blood or something into someone's eye safely, that sounds like that might be the approach.
Yeah, and you get used to it, to be fair. I mean, the first couple of times, you're a bit like, oh, God, that's like, it's very sort of just a bit irritating. But like, it sort of helps after a while. After like the full take of a scene, you're like, do you know, actually, this stuff's helping. You sort of, when you've got this, when you literally, your vision's gone red because your eyes are covered in eye blood.
Yeah.
You're like, I actually feel more and more in the character. You just get completely immersed in it. So it actually kind of helped.
So the cleanup of that after something like that scene you were talking about with that big kill there, cleanup must take you hours.
Yeah. I dread to think. I mean, I sort of, once we finished, I sort of got rushed into the makeup trailer and I was like, right, we've got to get you out of these prosthetics. So that took a little while anyway. So I dread to think what the crew had to go through to clean up some of the stuff. And there was feathers everywhere. There was like bits of people everywhere and, you know, bits of like body parts. It was just mayhem.
Yeah. So like the blood getting all over the mask and prosthetics and things like that. It sounds like they would have had to, they'd shoot the thing and rush you off to get that stuff off the mask. Otherwise, I'm sure they probably have backup masks, as you don't want to just have one and go, oh crap, now we have to make a whole new one, right? So it sounds like that they just kind of rushed you off to make sure that was cleaned up to be safe.
Yeah, it was sort of that. It was, there was like a makeup team around me at all times. So like they would be topping up the blood. So one thing with Tigger is his mouth is always covered in blood and I'm always sort of like spitting out blood. And in order for that to happen, like between every shot, we would literally have someone come up to me and rub a load of fake blood around my mouth and like put it in my mouth and stuff like that and put it over my chest. Like just to give this, like he's constantly dripping in blood and he's always eating people and he's always having a little nibble at someone. So just that idea that he's always got blood around his mouth. And also the fact that I think they just kind of, it was a very physical role. So like the cast and the crew were just so good to me, like really supportive. So like any minute I could sit down and have a drink, they'd be like, right, quickly, let's get you in the trailer. You've got 15 minutes whilst we set up for this next shot. And they'd sort of get me out of the straight jacket and get some air and get some drink down. Yeah. So that was just more of like a supportive thing as well, I feel like.
Oh, that was really nice of them to be so supportive. I mean, how did you sit down with the Tigger tail?
Yeah, that's the thing with the tail. That's all CGI. It's all CGI.
I had a feeling it was. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, a few people thought it might be practical effects, but I didn't even know about the tail whilst we were filming. So near the end of filming, I think the producer might have mentioned it to me. They're like, oh, we might give you a tail, by the way. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I had a picture sent to me like 2 weeks before the trailer. And then so when the trailer actually came out and I saw this tail in action, I was just as excited as the fans. Like I had people texting me being like, oh, I love your tail. And I was like, I know, I love it too. Like I've just seen it. So
yeah, it looks very good in the trailer. I'm sure like it's a bigger budget, but you know, sometimes that stuff can get really expensive. There's a lot that's involved, a lot of green screening, everything like that. So it looks fantastic. It looks like time really went into making sure that looked as good with the whole getup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That was actually, I was going to actually ask you about the tail now that we're on the subject. Obviously, the book with Tager did not have a springy tail, and he did in the cartoons. Do you know if it's a springy tail in the movie?
It's not really.
Or can you tell us?
It's not really a springy tail in the movie. I think I can say, because in the trailer, you can see me sort of jumping off something. So that's sort of, the movements are very sort of cat-like still, like a big cat, sort of how it would leap. But it's, it doesn't really use the tail. And I don't know whether that's something that maybe Reese and Scott sort of discussed. But I feel like maybe it has more of a comedic effect if he was bouncing on his tail. And I feel like that's something they don't really want to go down with this movie. I feel like I've sort of more, I do jump and leap. I'm always on like walls and I'm on ceilings and I jump off stuff. So there's that bouncy element to him, but he doesn't really use his tail. Maybe in the future, who knows? But yeah, he doesn't really use his tail as he does in the cartoon.
Yeah, I feel like if you were to use the bouncing tail, it would feel a little hokey, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense to be more cat-like and more stealth and jumping on people and jumping off of things, not necessarily bouncing around like you have a spring on your back. Because I could imagine if there's a scene where someone's running and the camera's like panning with Tager, if you're bouncing on a tail, I think it would look so awkward and it probably just like take it down a notch for me in the film. I don't know. They could just be, it'd be too comedic as opposed to what really is, should be an amazing horror movie because it looks so good.
Yeah. No, thank you. Appreciate that. I think it takes away from that sort of, because it's treated like there's no sort of comedic parts in what I did anyway. It's all very dark. So I feel like if you then sort of see him bouncing his tail in one scene, you think that doesn't really fit well in the sort of the tone of the movie. And I feel like maybe the audience might laugh at that maybe. And it just does, it feels a bit out of place.
So. I mean, some comedy in horror is fine. Mm-hmm. It gives people a little bit of breathing space in between like the next kill and things like that. So it just kind of sets the tone of things. Like for instance, let's say Freddy versus Jason, right?
Yeah.
Where Freddy comes in and he's like a worm thing and starts smoking weed with one of the characters. Naturally, that character gets friggin' hacked in half later on. But sometimes they do that comedy stuff in horror and it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's like once it's hokey horror, then it's like, I don't know.
No.
You know, that kind of deal. I prefer dark and ominous over, silliness. But if it's like the movie's literally going out its way to be absolutely silly and over top, then by all means, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like when you're throwing comedy in there for the sake of comedy, that's when it's like, this is not really called for.
No, yeah, exactly. And I feel like some of the dark films, when they really delve into the darkness, it really works. Like, for example, I just thought of Evil Dead Rise. I feel like that's a horror film that I don't think had any comedic parts. And it works so well because it is one of those things you kind of want it to end, but you don't want it to end at the same time because it's just one after the other of just awful, awful kills and scenes and stuff like that. Yeah, so there's not a lot of comedy in that one.
Not at all. That movie is gnarly. I loved it.
Yeah.
It's definitely a different take on the Evil Dead franchise because, Evil Dead 1, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, they do have a great blend of horror with comedy. And that was, I think, their whole approach from the beginning was to have that mix of elements. And it works for them. It works for the whole franchise.
Yeah.
So they basically took Evil Dead Rise and kind of flipped the whole franchise on its head and then gave it that more dark aspect to it.
Yeah.
And I love it. I actually had a chance to meet the main actress, the one that's, oh my God, what is her name?
Alyssa Sutherland.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had
a chance to meet her. She's really nice. Also, very tall.
Really? I'm meeting her soon because she's at the same convention I'm at. So I'm going to one in Freiburg in Germany on May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. I'm on that day, and May the 5th as well. Was it Revenge of the 5th, is it?
Revenge of the 5th. Right.
And she's going to be there. So I'm like, and obviously she's like on my side of the table. Do you know what I mean? That she's meeting fans as well of her film. So, but I feel like I'm just going to be like fangirling over her. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I want to go over to her table and she might be like, aren't you a guest here? And I'm like, yeah, but like, can I get an autograph?
I
love
course.
The film. Yeah.
So you're starting to do conventions then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so exciting.
Who knows? Maybe if you come to the U.S. and you do one of the conventions here, I don't know, maybe Spooky Empire or something like that, we'll get a chance to see you.
Oh, God, yeah, I'd love that, yeah. Any convention that gets thrown at me, I'll take it. It's one of those things, I feel like, I know some actors don't like it as much, but I think it's so important as an actor to sort of, if people like your work, you know, you get recognition for your work and people appreciate what you're putting out there, like whatever sort of character it is. So it's nice to meet fans and people that like what you're doing and sort of have a chat about it.
Last year, we got to do a convention called Silver Screen Festival. I think they're having their fourth year this year, but they had us as guests last year.
Mm.
And we got to meet a ton of people, and it was such a great festival. Are you familiar with that one?
No, I've not heard of that one. Was it called Silver Scream?
Yeah,
Silver Scream.
Run by Spencer from this band called Ice Nine Kills.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah.
So they run the thing, and it's insane. Like, last year, they had, like, Tony Todd and Skeet Ulrich and... We met a bunch of people from Terrifier.
Wow.
You should put a bug in your manager's ear about that one.
Yeah, well, actually, I was just thinking that. Yeah, bring it up to him. Yeah, it's great because they sort of just, they ask me, like, I've signed a couple and there's a few of them they've sort of mentioned of, like, this country. And I'm like, all of them. I'm like, yep. I'm not hesitating at any of them. Like, I want to go to all of them. Because I think it's just important to sort of go and meet fans. And then I also can fangirl over other horror icons.
Yeah,
because I'm such a horror fan.
Come hang out with us in Boston.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'd love that. Yeah. I think there was one in Boston. I think my convention agent, I think, actually mentioned one in Boston the other day. So fingers crossed.
Well, maybe
crossed.
That's the one.
Make it happen. We'll be there.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Yeah, I'd love that.
Actually, wouldn't be surprised if it was Silver Scream Con.
Yeah, maybe
it
is.
Because that's Boston based.
She didn't say the name. She just said, oh, I've got this one like sort of cooking up in Boston. We'll let you know dates and stuff soon. And that was that. So hopefully it is that one. That'd be great.
Well, yeah, hopefully we'll see there.
Yeah. Let me know. I'll let you know if it is that one. I'll give you guys a message.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Thank you.
Hell yeah. We'll buy you a beer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll hold you to that. Yeah. Have a night out. Night out in Boston.
Hell yeah. I like this idea already. Yeah.
We'll show you around if you get some
time. That'd be great. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I'd love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is that stigma where people don't want to do these conventions. And honestly, I don't know why. These conventions are for the fans. Fans are recognizing all this amazing work that you're putting into these films, and they want to be there. They want to meet you. They want to take photos. So it sounds awesome that you're just like super pumped about it, whereas some stars can be like, oh, I'm too big for that.
Yeah.
But we think it's great. We love it. Us horror fans love it. We come out in droves, and we're always there. We're excited to be there. We'll fucking drop whatever kind of money we want just to make sure that we're getting photos and everything.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I remember, like, I think it's because I went to Comic-Cons as a kid, like, when I was younger. Like, I was like 16, 17. I used to go to Comic-Cons, not horror cons, like more sort of like for video games and stuff. And I used to absolutely love it. Like, I used to, it's like my I've got great memories going to these sort of places and meeting, like, sort of, I met Troy Baker and people like that. And it's like, do you know, and then, like, now I'm being invited two conventions. I'm like, it's so important because I know how it felt when I was meeting people that I liked watching and or playing on the video game. So I think it's important to sort of go to these things and meet the fans, because without the fans, you've got nothing, really.
Exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just a bunch of people shooting a film.
Yeah,
and you're like,
for no reason.
We'll just have this in. Yeah, for no reason at all.
Yeah, exactly.
You just make me want to replay The Last of Us.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, honestly. So I love that. I love him in Pagan Min in Far Cry 4. I love that game. And what else was he? Either the Joker, obviously, in Arkham Origins. So all these sort of things. I think it was a Joker poster actually signed for me. I think it was.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah. So we definitely love conventions. It is a bit surreal, isn't it? So you go into the conventions as a, you know, a kid, and now you're doing them. And us going to conventions, and now we're guests to them. It's surreal. It's crazy,
right?
Have
you done any yet? How many have you done so far as like guests?
Oh, we haven't been like actual guests per se, like have our own tables and stuff. We've talked about it, but haven't done it yet. We're more like they invite us as press.
Right.
So just that alone, we're just like, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah. How have you found it?
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I get to go in and I flex like, yeah, I'm press. I got my press pass.
Yeah, I got my press pass.
We went in there last year. We have t-shirts with our faces. We're just getting killed by, we had shirts designed. I can't remember who, but we're getting killed by them. So we had people coming up to us, asking us like what it was and if we had a podcast. And we actually had business cards made that we could hand to people.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I fucked them up per usual.
Oh,
yeah,
did you?
Steve fucked them up.
Oh, really?
It's not my fault. It's Androids versus iPhone. My iPhone could read the QR code. Androids were like, I don't know.
Oh, really? Oh, bloody hell.
Whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You learn by your mistakes. And I learned
exactly.
That.
Live
I
and learn. Live and learn.
Exactly. Yeah. Live and learn. So I think we might have a couple more questions, if you don't mind.
Cool. No, honestly, I'm having a great time.
Corey, it looks like you have a couple of questions. Mine's a more like wrapping up questions.
Yeah, so I'm curious where the movie was filmed, because obviously you're in England.
Yeah.
Did you have to fly over to the States or?
No, it was all very close to me. I was very lucky. So basically, I'm based in a county called West Sussex in the south coast of England. And when I got the role, I assumed it might be in the States or at least in London or Manchester, something like that. And some of it was in South London, so it's actually closer to me anyway. So a lot of like the warehouse scenes that you see, like the clip, that, I mean, the picture that came out earlier, sorry, that's actually in a warehouse that was in London. And then all the wood stuff is in East Sussex. So it was literally about an hour and a half away from me. So I was so lucky that it was so close. So it's literally the other side of the same county I'm in. And obviously, like Pooh, for example, he lives in Canada. Piglet's from Scotland. So all these people coming over from like different areas of the globe. And then there's me. I'm literally like, oh, I'm literally down. Like, I know people around that area in East Sussex. So I was very lucky.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Imagine you're like, oh, I'll be back. Just going to drive on over.
Yeah, literally. I could pop home and come back. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going home for my lunch break.
Yeah. Going to go home on lunch break. Yeah. I could have done that. Honestly,
wow, that close. Wow, that is extremely convenient.
Yeah, I still had the accommodation because obviously it's like after a night shoot you're so tired, so it's nice to have that hotel. It's just up the road. It was still like an hour and a half drive if I went back to mine, but yeah, it was not. I still got the accommodation and stuff like that and still stayed near, you know, set. But yeah, it was nice being
yeah,
close.
That's awesome. Yeah, it must be nice to have that whole setup for you. Have a hotel, I'm sure, per diem for food, things like
yeah,
that, or
like
food
that.
On set.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, it was great.
It was great.
Very looked after. And it was like, it was nice as well because obviously you're so close and you just want to sleep during the day as well. So it's like you get back at like 8 in the morning and then you've got to be on set by like 6 p.m. that day. So
oh my. Oh, so a lot of it was done at night, which
yeah.
makes sense.
All my
a lot
scenes
of it
were at night. All my, yeah, I think we got on set for about 6 p.m. and then I'd need to be in like makeup by that sort of time. And then we'd be ready to go from 8 p.m. and then we'd film until, I mean, there'd be like breaks. There's like lunch breaks and stuff, but until about, I don't know, 7 a.m. I think it was.
Would Something you like be that. Eating in the Tigger costume?
Yeah, it was very difficult. That's the thing. Like having a normal conversation was so hard. So obviously the only thing that came out was the teeth. So I had those really sharp teeth. And if yeah. I ate with them, I would have like cut my lip up because you had to be really careful with these teeth. They're quite sharp. So I'd take the teeth out and then we had like just different sort of meals on set. And then you're sort of struggling to get it through the prosthetics because it's like another layer on top of your lips, if that makes sense. And then you're getting it all over like your Tigger mouth. Do you know what I mean? So Tigger's got like rice on his mouth and stuff like that. And then another thing as well is the hearing was so bad. So everyone keeps saying, like, how was the vision? And stuff. I'm like, the vision was absolutely perfect and like talking was fine. But it was the hearing because obviously his ears are on the top of his head. So my ears are completely covered and there wasn't any holes or anything. So it was really echoey. So like, I remember like I was chatting to the producer at one point on lunch and I had to say to him one point, I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm really looking at your lips, but I'm really have to focus on what you're saying. And like, there'd be like times on set when like, they'd be like, Lewis, can we get you and your mark, please? And then I just wouldn't respond. And they'd be like, Lewis. And I'm like, Lewis. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, sorry. And I'm like, literally, I can't hear anything. I just hear myself. So I was getting so annoyed at like my own voice. So that was the only thing was the hearing. Apart from that, it was actually fine.
As you're mentioning, like you're able to eat while dressed as Tigger. This is what I'm picturing in my head, right? I'm picturing the line of people at the buffet station, you know, just in between takes, things like that. And you're in line with your whole Tigger costume. Yeah. You got like the grip next to you or something like that. And you're just like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, how's it going? Yeah, literally, it was like
Lewis.
That. It was so casual. I remember like the first day on the set when people heard my voice, they're like, what the hell? Because obviously I'm doing like an American accent for the character and quite a deep voice and it's getting tuned and stuff. So it sounds like demonic. And then I'd go up and I remember there was like one point when I went up to like some of the supporting artists and I haven't really spoke to him. I've just killed a few of them, but I'm actually had a chance to talk to him. And then when I went, you all right, how's it going? You all right? And like with my like little English accent, and like, I did not expect that voice to come out of that mouth. I was like, this is my voice. And then like, I'll go, oh yeah, that's a really good shot. That looks really good. And they're like, oh my God, like how, like, I did not think that'd be your voice.
Really? So you had to do a little bit of an American voice to it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So you can hear it in the trailer. So obviously when I say hello, Christopher, that's my voice, but like it's been tuned and stuff. So they did like, it's very similar to what they did with like Freddy Krueger. I think it's a bit different. So I think with that, they just slowed down Freddy Krueger's voice. I think it's called radio something. But with us, I think they just sort of made it distorted. So it just sounds even more sort of demonic. So when I did sort of talk to people off, you know, off camera, and they were like, oh my God, like, I thought you would have had like this deep, horrible voice because it goes with the face. And then it's just so not true.
Yeah. So like you would talk, right? And
yeah.
Then they would take that audio later on and just like modify it to have the deeper sound and the distortion to it.
Yeah, it was just sort of making it just a bit deeper, I'd say. Making it a bit deeper and yeah, a little bit distorted. So it sort of comes off a little bit more, like I said, like sort of demonic, and it just sounds great. Like I've heard, obviously, the Hello Christopher's in the trailer, but I've heard a few more little audio clips from mm-hmm. Reese, and it just sounds wicked what he's done.
Yeah, it does. It sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I have two more questions.
Honestly, guys, I've got loads of time, honestly. I'm not in a rush.
Oh, I know. But you, obviously, we want to respect your time. I know you're a night owl, things like that.
You've got gaming to do as well, haven't you? You got gaming to do.
Exactly. Yeah. I've been gaming all day, even though I had a freaking migraine. But it's whatever. That's on me. So, I basically have two more questions for you. Uh-huh. And these are kind of like, you know, wrap it up here.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen the film yet, but of course, we already got our tickets and plan to review it. So now that the film is completed and ready for release, is there anything else in the pipeline you can talk about or you want to promote as well? I know we're fully expecting some horror conventions appearances like that, like we were talking about, but anything else you got coming in the pipeline?
So it's quite interesting, actually. So obviously, like I said, I was at the Globe before I did this film, and then literally we wrapped on this film, and I think about a month later, I was back at the Globe again doing Shakespeare again. Mm-hmm. So it was so cool just to go from doing Shakespeare to this film, going back to Shakespeare, because it's like complete two ends of the spectrum. Do you know what I mean? Like you got this sort of this play in period clothing to then playing a killer tiger man. And then after that, I did like another feature film, and I sort of played like this Chav in Essex. I think that's coming out this year. I've done like a commercial, which is fun. I'm sort of doing like a tick list because I'm still new to the industry, I feel like. So I'm mm-hmm. sort of still finding your feet. So I've sort of tried out like, you know, stage performances. I've tried out commercials. I've done some combat stuff. So we've got like a little short film coming out, which is all complete like military based. So I'm sort of trying out loads of things at the moment. Got a few like exciting things coming up. And then obviously with Tigger, I can obviously confirm as well. I can't say too much about the films and stuff, but obviously I can confirm that he is coming back as well. He will be in future movies. Which is very exciting. So he will be back. And also, I can't say what it is, but just so you guys know, and obviously people listening to this can stay tuned, that on the 22nd of March, there will be a massive announcement as well for another film that Scott and Reese will be making, Jagged Edge Productions will be making. 22nd of March is going to be, it's on their Instagram, and they mentioned it the other day, but the 22nd of March will be a massive announcement. And I think it will honestly blow people's minds, this film.
Obviously, this episode's going to drop before the movie, you know, comes out, and the 22nd. So you got it from us first, I hope.
Yeah.
Or maybe you got it on social media. And
yeah, I think they did a little thing on Instagram, but I've not really sort of mentioned it to people yet. So obviously it'd be great for you guys. Yeah, whack it in the description and sort of get the hype going, because it is crazy what they'll be announcing on 22nd of March. Like people will be, it'll blow their minds, honestly.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Corey, you're gonna set a reminder right now.
Yeah.
So is there going to be another trailer for the movie, or are we just the one that's out? Because I know typically movies will release several trailers before it comes out.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking that actually the other day. I'm not too sure, to be honest. Like, even with this trailer, I didn't really know too much about it, because obviously we were getting told like some dates it was coming out, and then it actually didn't come out on those dates. And then we sort of, I kind of knew the trailer was coming out like a few days before, so it was along with the fans. And then they've done like obviously a sort of smaller version of the trailer and stuff like that. But I heard someone say the other day about character trailers would be cool, and obviously that would be amazing. But I'm not too sure how much they sort of want to show before the actual film comes out. I'm not too sure. But yeah, obviously most films do actually have like two or three trailers. But I don't know, actually. It's a good question. I actually don't know the answer to that. Perhaps. That'd be cool if there was, but yeah, we'll see.
It would, but like I totally understand too if they don't, because if there's several trailers to movies, personally, I feel like they give away a lot of the movie in the trailers these days.
Yeah, yeah. Some people don't watch trailers anymore. Don't know, I've got a few friends that don't watch trailers. Like I will, I'm a big trailer person. Like I would love watching it a lot before the film, but like some people strictly say, nope, no trailers. I want it all to be a surprise, which I get completely as well.
I do that with several movies. Like if it's something I'm really looking forward to, I will stay away from it.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh was one of those movies, but I just couldn't stay away from watching this particular one, because both Steve and I were such huge fans of the first film. It's a childhood thing for us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And yeah, honestly, and I think that trailer is so good. I remember when I first watched it, I just had goosebumps the whole time. And the way they've edited it, and like the sort of the start being quite calm into just complete chaos at the end of it, the editing's so good. And I feel like that's enough anyway to sort of give the audience enough of like footage to look forward to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't wait. We're seeing it opening night. We were shocked when they announced it.
Yeah.
The date. And it's showing like 20 minutes from us.
Oh, wow.
We're in New Hampshire, and typically we don't get films like this.
Yeah.
None of the theaters around here are, you know, brave enough to show something like this.
Yeah.
But this particular film is showing at the same theater that I saw The Terrifier 2. They brought it back to theaters at the end of last year.
Right, right, right.
And they showed it in theaters, and I went and saw it. New Hampshire typically doesn't get stuff like this.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah,
you know,
that's
so Lewis,
cool. That...
like, oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I cut you off there.
No, that's right. No, I was just saying it's cool. That's cool that you guys, it's close to you.
Absolutely. I was a little shocked myself. So immediately Corey's like, hey, you want to go? I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, opening night. I love it.
So, yep, bought our tickets. We're seeing it at 7 p.m. on whatever day it opens.
Oh, wow. Let me know what you think. Give me a message. Obviously, I know you do a review anyway, but like, give me a message once you've seen it. I'd love to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to see it. And the plan is to do a review and drop it the following week.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Well, we have a spoiler warning at the beginning of every episode. So we'll talk a little bit in depth about it, but try not to ruin it for everyone. You know?
No,
so
yeah.
We'll just be like, this is cool. All right.
Yeah.
Podcast episode over.
That's it. Yeah. And then this happens. And this happens. Yeah. It's one of those ones when you get people just tell every little detail of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we try to be good about that. So actually going back to what you were just saying, like, you know, going into movies blind, I'm like kind of mixed about it. Sometimes I'll just watch a trailer, whatever. But then other times I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Let's go into this movie and I won't see the trailer. I did that for the movie The Menu. I went in blind.
Right.
I was like,
yeah,
let's go check it out. And then I went in. I was like, this is amazing. Have you ever seen that movie?
I think I've seen that. Is that one with Ralph Fiennes?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What a film. I was the exact same. I think it was my ex-girlfriend. I think she... Yeah, I remember this. I was at drama school at the time. And she said, let's watch this film called The Menu. And I just thought it would be like a cooking film. And I thought, I'm not interested in that. And then she went, no. It's meant to be really good. Like, it's a really good cast. And it's like a psychological sort of thing. And I was like, oh, go on in. I'll whack it on. So I sort of put it on. And oh my God, what a film. I was hooked. After 10 minutes, I was like, what is going on? I was so hooked.
It was such a like mind fuck type of movie.
Yeah.
Just things were happening and left field, like twists. Yeah, it was crazy.
I need to watch that again. Oh my God, you've just bloody got a memory back there. I forgot about that film.
It's like a brilliant movie. It's amazing.
Yeah, I need to watch it again. It's just so weird, but wonderfully weird.
Yeah, actually, same thing with me. I went with one of my ex-girlfriends, and she was like, oh, let's just go in and see it. I'm like, okay. And then I walked out. I'm like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, I want to see that again.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, it's nice because it kind of came out of like nowhere. I feel like the ones that you do see trailers for are the ones, like this film's getting a lot of promotion before the film comes out. So sort of it's in your face, isn't it? A lot of these trailers. So you sort of end up going, I'll go on in, I'll watch it. But that one didn't get a lot of promotion, I don't think. Like, I never even heard about it. And normally I'm quite good with my film knowledge. Like, I'm normally looking at what's coming out and stuff. And I never like heard about that film until it was already out, which is crazy.
I don't think they knew how to market it.
No.
I think because it's such a, like, it's a smart movie. It could be deemed as horror. It could be deemed as comedy, drama, like everything. It's kind of covers a lot of like genres. So I don't think they knew what the hell to even do with it. They probably knew they had a good movie, but they were just like,
what
I guess we'll just put it out there and see what people say.
Yeah. What have we created it? Like, what have we done here, guys? Sort of that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't do good in theaters, but then blew up as soon as it went to HBO Max. Like, social media was nuts about it. And I'm like, welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah. I think that's what I watched it on. I think I watched it on once it was out. I mean, looking at it now, it's got 88% on Rotten Tomatoes and 7.2 out of 10 on IMDb. So it did well once it obviously came out of cinemas.
Yeah. Critics loved it. Fans loved it. Some fans are just like, they didn't get it. And I'm like, well, okay, maybe you just don't understand like the depth of some films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people just take them at face value. But we try to read between the lines and what they're trying to convey in the story. And I think there was a lot of undertones of what they were trying to say in that film.
Yeah. And it's interesting if you really watch a film again, like how layered a film is and stuff like that. I feel like sometimes if you have a bad opinion about a film, you can watch it again. I've had it happen to me so many times and I watch a film a second time and then all of a sudden I love it. I think that's so weird. And it's almost like because sometimes I need to be anyway, more open-minded with films. When you go into a film with expectations and when they don't meet those expectations, you then have a dislike towards the film. And it's so stupid because then I'll watch it a second time and then I'll love it. And it's really strange. I get that quite a lot. And I don't know why.
Same here. I actually hated Step Brothers at first.
Oh my God, I have a tattoo for that film.
Oh, really? What is it?
A Nighthawk.
Oh, that's cool.
My friend's got a dragon. He's my best mate, and we quote the film on the daily. We say that we are those two characters. We say I'm Will Ferrell and he's John C. Reilly. And then so we were in Tenerife on holiday, and then I think we had a few beers, and then he went, oh my God, let's get tattoos. So I've got a Nighthawk on my arm and he's got a dragon.
Oh, that's cool.
My cousin and I actually recreated the poster for that movie. Like, we actually went out and bought the outfits.
Oh,
and
we
had photos professionally taken to give them to my aunt for her birthday.
With the jumpers they got on, the goofy jumpers. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I love that. She was. We gave them to her in a restaurant. And she started crying, and one of the waiters came over and was like, "Are you okay?"
Yeah, you guys should do that. You guys should do that for like loads of films.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Corey, you and I alone should just do it. I think it would be the silliest friggin' thing ever.
We'll just recreate movie posters.
Exactly.
That's a good idea. I think you should do it. I think you should just like look at movie posters where there's like two people in the front, like Step Brothers, like you just said then, or whatever. And you can recreate
only if
it.
You help us when you're in Boston. You join in for one of them.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, we got to think of one. Maybe the like A New Hope or something. Joe and Luke Skywalker's holding the lightsaber up with the open shirt. Something like that.
Oh, yeah. I'll try to do the open shirt thing. People go, Steve, maybe you just put that back on. Thanks.
I'll be Princess Leia on her knees. I think she's on her knees, isn't she?
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, that's perfect.
That'd be funny. Yeah.
All right, for your trip over here, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, let's do that. And you got Darth Vader in the background. We need a Darth Vader as well.
Oh, I love
C-3PO.
It.
Yeah, brilliant.
So, last question.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Naturally, because this is a horror movie podcast, do you have a favorite horror movie?
A favorite horror film? Oh, God. It's so hard. It's so difficult. Oh, my God. I'm gonna have to say, I think It 2017. I know that's very quite generic, and a lot of people like that film because I do have a love for like smaller budget horror films as well, like Terrifier and stuff like that. But there was something it did to me, that film, of like almost what started this character of like, I remember watching it and just, I sort of knew of Bill Skarsgård, but what he did with that character was just amazing. And I remember watching it in cinemas, and I think I watched it about two or three times in the end in cinemas. And just, I was just, everything, the bodily movements and the facial expressions and the voice and the prosthetics, everything. I was like, wow, like that is completely immersed in a character. Do you know what I mean? And that's the kind of like, he's completely gone. There's nothing there of him left.
Did you see the audition video he did for that character?
Yes, I've seen that. It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh my God. It's crazy to me that he was able to put himself in that character.
Yeah.
Like, just as a person, he wasn't wearing makeup or anything.
No, and it's so similar to the scene. They literally didn't change from the audition to the scene in the actual film. If you watch him sort of back to back, it's so similar. So they obviously loved his audition that much. They were like, right, that's going in the film. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
And yeah. We want you to portray it like that, please. Thank you.
Yeah. You've just given us an idea about our own film. Yeah.
I love the following that it created, too. Like, I remember walking around town here where I live and just seeing red balloons coming up from sewers.
Yeah, that's what they were doing for marketing.
Oh, really?
And I was like, I'm good. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere near that balloon because I know what that indicates.
Yeah.
You might get your arm bitten off.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a whole killer clown thing in England. Was it in America as well? The whole killer clown thing, wasn't there, a few years ago?
Oh, God.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That didn't go over too well, did it?
No, God, people started beating up clowns and stuff. It was crazy. But it happened near here, like right on the south coast of England. We had we had people on Snapchat and stuff like that videoing these clowns in public and sort of at night. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah. Not good.
No, like, not good.
I feel like if I was in that situation too, I'd probably, beat the clown up if like I felt threatened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or run like a bitch.
Yeah, I'd probably run. I just wouldn't chance it. But I think, going back to It, I just remember watching it and thinking, no, that would be like a dream role. Something like that where completely, when you look like, I imagine he did the same thing. When you look in the mirror and you're like, okay, I'm completely gone. Like, I'm not here anymore. That kind of thing. And that's why, obviously, I'm very grateful for this role because it is the same sort of, scenario with like him being completely immersed.
For sure. He did such an amazing job with that movie. I honestly might argue that he was better than the initial incarnation of Pennywise.
Yeah. Tim Curry was a very different Pennywise, though.
He was. He was, like, I think, more comedic.
Yeah.
As opposed to Bill Skarsgård, who was just very menacing and lost in that character, just completely gone. Bill Skarsgård did not exist in that movie. It was only Pennywise.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yes. Another character I absolutely love. Like, that's probably my favorite film character ever. Like, not horror, like, ever, is Heath Ledger's Joker. Just because, like you said then, fully just gone. Like, he's not there anymore.
Yeah, and he was so gone that it ended up literally killing him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and when I first saw the photo for Heath Ledger being Joker, I was like, oh, I don't know about that, because I know Heath Ledger from the 10 Things I Hate About You, right?
Yeah.
And things like that. And I'm like, come on, really, Heath Ledger? And then it comes out and I'm like, whoa. This is not
cinema.
The Heath Ledger. Yeah, this is amazing. This is not the Heath Ledger I know. Mm. This is a whole different ball game. He is gone in this.
And it's that thing as well, obviously, like, did it kill him? Because obviously he spent like 6 weeks in a hotel room, didn't he? And obviously he was on like 2 hours sleep every night. And there's pictures of his diary online, and it's crazy what he wrote in his diary. And obviously after the film stopped production, he obviously couldn't sleep anymore. So obviously a lot of people, some people say it's not the film, some people say it is the film that killed him. But like, I think that's got to take a mental toll on you, isn't it? I think that sort of method acting.
Oh, absolutely. Lack of sleep and just taking all sorts of concoctions just to, like, either stay awake or stay focused or try to put yourself to sleep. And then, you know, that happens, is that that cocktail he took that, you know, ended his life.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but...
But it's like, I mean, with Bill Skarsgård. Yeah. But it's like with Bill Skarsgård, obviously, he had nightmares of Pennywise, didn't he? Did you hear about that? After they stopped production, he said he had nightmares of Pennywise in his dreams.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, so it obviously sat there in his brain as well. And you hear about it a lot. You hear about a lot of these actors that play these evil characters, and it's sort of, they go so deep into it that they can't come out of it. It's like with Austin Butler. He said he tried to avoid doing that joke. Have you seen Dune Part 2 yet or not?
Not yet. I actually just watched Dune 1 over the weekend because my friends want to go see Dune 2 this week.
Yes.
And it literally took me 3 years to watch it because I couldn't put 3 hours aside to watch it.
It's so busy. Yeah.
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 Actually, yeah, I watched Dune this year. This Dune, it was like the first time I could watch it because same thing, Corey. It's like, it's hard to dedicate that kind of time and like just sit there and watch a movie for 3 hours. Mm. I'm like, I could be doing so much. I could be like moving everything around in this house and reorganizing, and instead of just staying put for 3 hours.
Yeah.
But, I mean, sometimes you just need to stop and sit there for 3 hours and
relax.
You need to.
I think it's good for you. I love what, I mean, especially as an actor as well, I feel like it's really important to just sit and watch a film. And I honestly try and do it as much as I can. Like, I literally, if I'm like busy and I've got other stuff to do, I'll be like, do you know what? No, treat yourself. Like, get yourself some popcorn or whatever. Sit down and pick a movie, and like, whether it's a horror movie or not, and just watch it. I think it's good for your soul.
Oh, yeah, it's good for your soul.
Yeah.
Actually, that's kind of what I did today. I took the day off from work, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to relax. And I sat here all day and played video games.
Good.
And
that's good.
Yeah, I just needed to, like, a day.
Yeah.
To, like, mental health. Stop.
Yeah.
Because I'm always so go, go, go. And I'm just like, okay, that's it. I just need a second.
And you're burning yourself out. You got to recharge. You know what I mean? You got to recharge your batteries. So.
I was burnt out big time. It just nonstop go. And like at some point it's like, okay, you know, that's enough. I really need to stop.
Yeah.
So I didn't like really talk to anyone today other than Corey, where you were making sure everything was squared away for tonight. But other than that, I wasn't talking to anyone. I wasn't doing anything. I was just having fun.
Yeah.
You know, I was playing a lot of Helldivers and ranking up and getting killed by people left and right because they can.
I need to look into that game. I need to mention it a few times. It sounds like it's a really good game. I need to look into
it. So damn fun. I can't rave about it enough. It's like the most fun I've had in quite a long time playing online, because when you play online with a lot of people, some people tend to be pretty toxic, especially when you're playing games where it's either battle royales or team versus team.
Yeah.
And it's like you versus other people, which is fine and all, but this is more of a collective effort to take back or liberate planets that are getting overrun by either aliens or robots.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it as like two different games almost. One's like Starship Troopers and another is like the war in Terminator movies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So the robot planet's a little bit harder than the... Yeah. It's... Check it out. I think it cost me $40. Yours is a little different because you use euros, right? So
no, it's pounds. We got British pounds.
That's right, British pounds. So probably 41, 42 for you.
Something like that.
Like US
yeah.
dollars.
£27 it says here. Oh, wow.
Is it 27?
Yeah,
okay,
27
I'm
pounds.
Way off with my currency exchange.
No, maybe. I think maybe it's just cheaper here. I think I thought you were right, but maybe it's cheaper here. I might order it. I might do it.
Worth every penny. And then we'll play together.
Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Can I ask, what's your guys' favorite horror film? I'm interested. I want to see what you guys like.
Oh, okay. Corey, do you want to go first?
I'm never going to not say the Friday the 13th franchise.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, cool.
That's always been my favorite. And next to Terrifier, I love the Terrifier films.
Yeah. Yeah. But Terrifier's great.
So for me, like, Corey just generalized the whole entire franchise. But if you want to be exact, it's Friday the 13th, part 6, Jason Lives for me.
Okay.
Because the opening is absurd. Mm-hmm. The whole movie is absurd, but it's got like this amazing ending where it's Tommy versus Jason and they're on a boat and he's trying to hang Jason with a chain and a giant ass rock. They're in the middle of a lake. It's yeah. epic. It's so ridiculous. I love it. I love that movie. So if I had to say writing wise, Scream.
The Scream.
First Scream.
Like, yeah, love
everything
Scream.
About it.
Love Just Scream.
The misdirection, the little hints that the killers are these people and just everything like that. Because, and you know, you can kind of think that, okay, maybe Billy is like part of this, right? Mm-hmm. But you didn't think Stu really was a part of it.
No.
You didn't think there was two killers. And you thought, okay, maybe it's just this one guy the whole time. But
and the voice, oh God, I love Ghostface's voice. It's just the best voice ever.
Yeah, the hello, it? Sydney.
Yeah.
Hello there.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
I'm curious if they're going to continue with the new film or...
Oh, of course. It's really kicked off. Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff happened recently with the whole Scream franchise with the two leads basically saying, see you later, we're not doing it. So I proposed the idea, and I've said it many times on this podcast, of making Sydney the original, like the ghost face in charge of this whole thing. The whole franchise was really just her playing Ghostface and everyone else just like being pawns in her game.
Oh, wow. And, yeah.
And it would just completely obliterate the whole franchise. And everyone would be like, fuck you, Steve, for doing that. Now the movie executives are taking your advice on movies.
Yeah. That'd be cool. That'd be a proper psychological sort of, you know, I'd mess you up, to be fair, if you're like, yeah, somehow she sort of, you know, blackmailed people or manipulated people into doing these things.
Yeah, like a cult.
Yeah.
Like she'd be a cult leader. And it all started by Sydney's mom cheating on her dad with someone. So that caused that right there is motive for her to lose her freaking mind.
Yeah. What was your opinion on Ghostface using a gun in Scream 6?
Brutal.
Some people hated it. I loved it. I thought it was great.
So to me, that's Ghostface saying, I don't fucking care how I'm going to kill you. I'm just going to.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
It's going to be brutal.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really a long scene. It was just him walking into a convenience store and just blasting people with a shotgun.
Yeah, and gets a convenient gun, which is just kind of there. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was ruthless in that movie. Obviously, we're at this point now where it's like, it's okay to talk about the end of this movie because if you haven't seen it by now, you're not going to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So the fact that there were basically three Ghostface, that's kind of unheard of. Usually it's like one, two, but three, I was like, damn, all right.
I loved it. And I don't know about you, awesome. But I geeked out as well. Like I really look into who was which Ghostface in which scene. And I looked into it. So it turns out, so the one in the shop was the police chief. That was him.
That was him.
Because I thought it was the kid, but it wasn't. Online it says he called him acting like he's at the police station because he says, I need to see you guys now, don't I? And he lures him out of the apartment block and he's waiting for him as Ghostface. So stuff like that. I don't know. I really geek out. I'm like, who was who in which scenario? Because there's some scenes that were so good. And my favorite scene probably is the convenience store scene because he just stabs the guy right on the top of his chest and then he just takes a gun and just, do you know what I mean? Just goes absolutely just mental in the shot.
Yeah. And the stabs in it were just relentless, like fast stabs. Like, I mean, you see it a lot in, you know, obviously all the Scream movies is the stabbing and stuff, but I felt like he was very visceral in Scream 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Loved it. Corey and I raved about it. We reviewed it. I think we gave it a 5 out of 5.
I think we did like 2 episodes for that one because there was just so much we loved about it.
That's right. We had a split episode. It's the first time ever because we just talked about it like crazy. And I was like, you know what? We can't have 2 hour episodes. Like, if we're just like, all right, let's split this thing up. But a great movie.
I think, and the opening scene as well. Who gives a fuck about movies? That one, I love that. Yeah. It's so good. It's such a good opening. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I love it.
So I just wanted to say, Lewis, thank you so much for meeting with us today. Mm-hmm. We look forward to perhaps seeing you in Boston one day. We'll go get some drinks and take some shots of us looking like, we're in Star Wars.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, of course we need to do that. Yeah, we've got plans. Yeah, definitely. I'm going to talk to my convention agent and say, what's happening at the one you mentioned about Boston? Because she definitely mentioned it, so I'm gonna chase that up. And if I do go to Boston, I'll let you guys know. And we'll go out drinking, and we'll get back, and then we'll get our New Hope poster done.
Hell yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So, just to kind of clarify here, March 26th is the release date of Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
Yes, March 26th and 27th, 28th is out in cinemas. Go to Fathom Events online. It's on their Instagram, on the Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey Instagram. They've tagged them quite a few times. So go on Fathom Events to get your tickets. It's out for 3 days. And also, like I said earlier, on 22nd of March, there'll be another big announcement. So if you are fans of this universe, definitely stay tuned.
Hell yeah. And Corey and I will be there March 26th seeing this. We're super excited. Mm-hmm. He already bought my ticket. I owe him popcorn or some shit.
Yeah, yeah. You just have to buy him. Yeah, buy him the popcorn. Popcorn's a bloody necessity there, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I have to get a whole one by myself because I'm just like, I plow through it. I just keep going.
I do.
Just don't stop.
I do. I get a large one and I go through the whole thing easy. I might even get chicken strips on the side. I mean, I've got the premiere next week for the film. So March 11th is our premiere in Leicester Square in London. And I remember I was chatting to a few people that are going, and I was like, it's my first premiere, so I didn't know how it works. And I was like, did they serve popcorn still? Or was it like, because it's very professional, you don't have popcorn? I was like, I thought it was a fair question. And then they were like, yeah, definitely, you can get popcorn. I was like, yes, that's the thing I'm most excited for is the popcorn.
Hell yeah. Actually, you know what? I'll just ask this one more question too, because with those premieres, is it just like the movie industry people, like the people involved in the film, things like that? Or is it like the mix? Because I know a lot of actors, like they'll go to the theaters kind of in disguise, right? And they want to see the reaction of people as they're watching this film, as opposed to being like around movie executives.
Yeah. I think I'd love to do that at some point, hopefully. But it's still a bit unsure in UK cinemas right now. So hopefully that sort of gets sorted out. I'm not too sure what's happening with that. But with the premiere, that's all completely... so it's like obviously the cast and the crew all together for that one. But I know what you mean. It'd be great to, once I've done that, to maybe sneak into a cinema and sort of just see. Because obviously the people involved in the film are obviously in favour of the film and obviously they want to enjoy it. But it'd be nice to sort of sneak into a cinema with the public and just sort of see if people are loving this film or if there's any sort of, you know, whatever, screams or stuff like that. And obviously it'd be great as an actor to see that.
Yeah, and then you go, that's me. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Wait a second.
Where's your proof? And then you got to go on IMDb and go, look, I'm there.
And they're like, yeah, anyone can edit that.
Yeah. Photoshopped.
Yeah.
You got to show them set photos or something because you probably took something while you're on set.
Do you know what I did? So I've got quite a lot of tattoos and they go right down to my wrists. So on my, I actually did this. So I thought about this. I thought a lot of people can sort of say, oh, how do we know it's definitely you? So I did this selfie, me doing the peace sign and got my wrist in it in the Tigger gear. So I took the Tigger like glove off because like prosthetic gloves that go like halfway up your arm. So I took those off and then I did this like peace sign to make sure I get one of my tattoos in it. So now there's a picture of me on my phone of me doing this. Hopefully I can release it one day of me doing this selfie and you can see one of my tattoos in the photo. So there's the evidence of like that is definitely me.
Good call. That's maybe awesome. After the 26th of March is when you can probably drop that photo.
Yeah, so. It's a great photo.
Yeah,
did they let you keep anything from the set as like memento or?
No, they didn't actually. So it's quite interesting. So I think the guy who was like one of the location managers, I think he took the mask and he put it on the mannequin head. And I believe, I don't know where it's gone. I had to sign it. I'm not too sure if it's getting sold or I think it's getting auctioned or something. But there's a plan to do something with all the masks, I think. But it was so beaten up, my mask, because it's in like four parts, because it was just covered in fake blood and stuff like that, and like bits were pretty flying off. It was so beaten up, so I think I think I would have just wrecked it even more. So they put it on the mannequin head, and I think they're going to do something with it. But it would be great to like maybe in the future, hopefully take something home just to have. But I've got a ton of sort of Tigger merchandise. I'm literally drinking right now a cup of tea out of a Tigger mug.
Wow, that's cool.
I've just got obsessed. I've bought like I've got like someone actually bought me a Tigger like stuffed toy, and I've got like Tigger posters and I bought some Tiger t-shirts. It's sort of got to my head a little bit.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, yeah. Brag about it, you know?
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
I would do.
I'd say,
I was Tigger in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey too.
Oh yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like when we were kids, like one of the big things when you got your first job was to when you cash your first check, you would keep your dollar. You would frame your first dollar.
Yeah.
Like in your case, if you got to keep something from the movie to remember like your first acting gig.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Yeah, there's stuff I've kept from drama school, from like little things there, but nothing like actually like professional job yet. So hopefully in the future, I would love to take something home just to, like you said, frame it or put it on like a, you know, on a mantelpiece or whatever and sort of just have it there just to, for like a memory sake.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, you can probably take one of your 8x10s or something like that and I don't know, sign it for yourself and throw it up on the wall.
Yeah, there's definitely the, I don't know if you've seen the character posters, but I fell in love with my character poster. The one that says like the cat is out the bag. And I love that poster so much. I'm planning to get that printed soon and framed. I'm going to put that on my wall. That's definitely going on the wall, that one.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much for joining with us today. You've been very gracious with your time, especially, you know, how late it is at night over on your end.
Yeah.
Again, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Be sure to check out Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 in theaters on March 26th, 27th, and 28th, you said?
Yeah, right? That was it. Yeah, there's 3 dates. Okay. Yep.
Fathom Events. So be sure to get your tickets for this awesome movie. We're super excited. Definitely be sure to go out to your nearest theater if they have it. And I don't know, if they don't go there.
Yeah, don't. You waste your time. Wait until it's out, obviously after cinema release, or just travel.
Exactly. Just go for a little day trip wherever it's available. Go check it out and then go get lunch or whatever. I don't know.
It's worth
it. The world is your oyster. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Honestly,
thanks again, Lewis.
I've really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Hopefully we see you in Boston. We really, really want to hang out
and
take you out.
Yeah, honestly, I've only been to America 3 times. And every time I've gone to Cocoa Beach in Florida. So I've never actually been anywhere else apart from Florida. So it'd be great to just come to Boston and have a night out there.
Hell yeah. I've been to Cocoa Beach. It's nice.
Yeah, it's really nice there. Yeah, my mate's got, the one who's got the dragon tattoo, actually, funny enough, his family's got an apartment out there. So we've gone out there a few times. But yeah, so... But I'd love to go. Well, my mum used to live in America years ago, and she always loved Boston. So she always, it's actually the place she's always said, if you can go somewhere in America, go to Boston. So it'd be great to come.
But yeah, a lot of drinking areas.
Yeah,
there's tons of bars here. Tons.
Perfect. I can imagine the nightlife's great. But yeah, I will hold you to that. I will hold you to that. If I get something booked in Boston or anything even near Boston, I'll be definitely messaging you guys and we'll sort something out.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow you on my personal Instagram account right now. Actually, I know we follow each other on the 30 Screams page, but
yeah, give me
sure Steve
brilliant.
Will do the same thing.
Yeah, give me a follow.
What? I'll do that too.
You've got it, haven't you? Lewis Santner.actor.
There we go. Just followed you.
Yeah, brilliant. Follow you back. Here we are. Corey, got you, mate. Follow back. Brilliant.
Oh, if I spelled your name right, mistype.
Yeah, Lewis Santer, S-E-N-T-E-R.
Oh, no, I misspelled Lewis wrong. I spelled it like I put an A instead of a W. I think it was just a fat fingered.
Oh, is that you there, Steve?
That's me.
Brilliant.
Yep.
Nice one. Cheers, guys.
Yes.
Cheers, Lewis. Thank you very much again. We hope you have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah, go get some sleep.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm probably going to go straight to bed now. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Yeah.
See you later, man.
See you later.
Thanks, bye. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.